What the apostle states in the above quotation is that it was the Creator God that subjected mankind to the frustration of what we perceive as the fall of man, in order that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage through the process of the soul evolution in this world, which is God's spiritual university that perfects and brings about our eventual spiritual rebirth into the kingdom that is. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. In the same way that it was said of the Jews who rejected Jesus, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Christians can progress no further in their own walk in the way until they first understand why these people did not believe in Jesus, as seen in the words, "For this reason they could not believe, because," as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts," John 12:37-40 NIV. The apostate church, because of their apostasy. Even if Jesus himself was to come and speak to the Christians today, their eyes would remain blinded, their ears deafened, and their hearts deadened. Why? No amount of facts presented to the church can open the eyes of their leaders. No amount of truth can persuade them that they are walking down the proverbial broad way of self-destruction, because they judge themselves by the standards of this world. Their vision of what Jesus required has become clouded and gravely misguided, having been turned from the way by the apostles of the evil one in the more distant past. They presently dwell in a spiritual diaspora that Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, and because of their wholesale disenfranchisement from the original spiritual essence and purpose of the gospel message. While it is true that while they call upon the name of the Lord with their lips, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true: a dog returns to its vomit.
Yeah.
A sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. 2 Pet 2:20-22 NIV. Their own Bibles witness that they are apostates who crucifies the Son of God afresh, holding him up to contempt. And because they dwell in a spiritual diaspora, there is nothing that anyone can say that will save them from the hell they have imposed upon themselves, because they share a common doctrinal flaw. Liberal and conservative churches are merely opposite polarities of the same flaw when the leaders of one church oppose the leaders of another church. The equation is not truth opposing error, but rather, it is as one polarity of error opposing its opposite polarity of error. Why? Because it is their flawed foundation that not only causes all the opposing opinions that consume and divide the Christian and ultimately the religious world, but causes each group to remain alienated from the truth. What Paul refers to as the God of this world can invoke disputes and factional polarizations to the degree where fragments of truth are mistaken for the whole truth, then the truth has been overcome by the power of darkness. Yeshua warned that a house that is divided cannot stand, and Christianity remains a religion of mass confusion and opposing opinions, because the God of this world has prevailed in his endeavor to induce Christians to ignore the warning of Paul on the sin of sex, see no sex. Yeshua did not come to promote doctrines of opinion and belief, but rather, he came to teach the way that each person must walk, to know the truth and the kingdom. In the parable of the good seed and the field, the enemy sowed tares among the good seed, and it has been these tares that had divided believers and alienated them from being nourished by the sacred manna of the kingdom that can only be received by those who pick up their own cross and follow in the footsteps of Yeshua and the way. Fix the flawed foundation, and all the opposing opinions that divide the Christian and religious world will very quickly disperse. And while Christians claim to rely upon the New Testament, it is the very scriptures they champion that rejects their doctrines of belief as being turned out of the way. Why do they fail to see this fact? Because they are blinded by their flawed foundation, which causes them to perceive an error. The flawed doctrine of perpetual redemption. Church doctrine had become strongly influenced and defined by carnal believers who were converted in name only from the paganism of Rome by the Emperor Constantine. The pagan mindset appeases a God that it cannot know, because the thinking of the people are immature and undeveloped. In the same way that the Pharisees sacrificed animals for their sin, the pagan Christians used Jesus as a sacrifice for their sins. And in the same way that Jesus condemned all animal sacrifice, stating that he was the one-time sacrifice for the sins of the faithful flock, the pagans of Rome, who called themselves Christian, turned Jesus into a perpetual sacrifice for lives lived in continual sin, immorality, and often spiritual depravity. Contrary to the paganism and idolatry of the church, the New Testament openly condemns those who sin after embracing the teachings of Yeshua, and the way stating that they crucify the Messiah/Christ afresh, and they forfeit any and all hope of salvation. Thus, in direct opposition to church doctrine, Yeshua/Jesus taught that his followers had to keep the commandments and the law in a spiritual manner rather than the carnal manner of the Pharisees, and they had to be more righteous. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matt 5:17-20 KJV. To the man who was healed by Yeshua he warned, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. John 5:14 KJV. And once again this same reality is portrayed in the words of Paul. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Gal 2:17-18 KJV. These words mean absolutely nothing to the leaders of the churches, because to them religion is a commercial business which they peddle, and for them to remain in business, the prevailing spiritual sickness must remain fully in effect, while ignorance and spiritual disenfranchisement is the cause of the disease. Sin is the outward effect of the spiritual sickness that Jesus came to cure. The disciple who was healed of this congenital sickness, by virtue of the blood of the Lamb, was granted the power to be healed from this sickness. Once cured, he did not remain sick, but was healed from the malady that was the cause of his ignorance, suffering, and spiritual disenfranchisement. The church, on the other hand, thrives by promoting the disease that afflicts mankind, and it is necessary to keep the people ignorant for the prodigal sons and daughters to remain shackled to lives of suffering in this, the far country, where they are bound to the outer darkness of consciousness, mind, and being. As the gospel became corrupted by the pagans who called themselves Christian, the degeneracy of the church was opposed by men such as Pelagius, who wrote that man is able, if he likes, to live without sin and keep the commandments of God, inasmuch as God gives him this ability. It is important to recognize that Pelagius did not say that man has this inherent ability, but rather, God grants him this ability. But this ability can only be bestowed upon those disciples who are truly faithful to the very spiritual essence of the teachings of Jesus and the way. Pelagius vehemently opposed the corruption of the clergy and priests of the Roman Church, the idolatry of the pagan Christians. And this statement was written against the dreadful moral standards of the church, which had thoroughly embraced the doctrine of St. Augustine that all events of life was totally controlled by divine providence. To the reasoning of Augustine, it made no difference if man committed sin, because he did not possess free will. Under the doctrine of predestination promoted by Augustine, man could do nothing on his own, and whether he was saved or not, was predestined from before the world was created. This doctrine was of course used by the Roman Church, because it conveniently established the church in the role of the singular determining factor in man's search for salvation. Being a member of the church was the only qualifier that saved mankind, and since man was morally challenged because of the original sin of Adam and Eve, it did not matter how defiled or sinful a life he lived. From a doctrinal perspective, all of mankind was morally challenged. Man was a congenital sinner and could do nothing on his own, and since no deeds either good or bad could save him, it was doctrinally reasoned that mankind could therefore live in accordance with any moral standard he desired, so long as he lived under the protective umbrella of the Roman Church. That Christians are in fact required to test what they believe is seen in the commandment of the apostle to prove and test all things, and it is the claim of the original teachings of Jesus that we have this ability, not by virtue of our own powers of carnal reasoning, but because God has given us the ability to carry out the commandment of the apostle. But Christians remain shackled to ignorance, because they choose to blindly believe in the carnal doctrines of men. The very name Christian conveys a person who is of an anointed and illumined mind and understanding, a state of mind that our modern-day faith-based doctrines represent only a very incomplete understanding of the true depth of the original gospel message. In the process of what is known as reverse osmosis, man has the power to purify contaminated water, and he does so through the process of removing the impurities that became infused into the water as it flowed from its source to the point where he is able to receive it. In the case of what we believe today, the filter that we use to purify what we have received is knowledge, and that knowledge can only be realized when it is built upon the same foundation as that which was found at the water source. History easily demonstrates that under the rule of Roman authority, the church fell into such carnal degeneracy that it embraced every sort of political and materialistic corruption, a corruption that brought the level of the church so low that it even ordained sexual orgies for the priests. To further illustrate the condition and character of the times, Gibbon writes in The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire that simony, or the buying and selling of ecclesiastic positions within the church, was not unknown in those times, and the clergy sometimes bought what they intended to sell. It appears that the bishopric of Carthage was purchased by a wealthy matron named Lucilla for her servant Majorinus. Regarding the wholesale immorality and depravity of the churches, Gibbon writes that fraud, envy, and malice prevailed in every congregation. The presbyters aspired to the episcopal office, which every day became an object more worthy of their ambitions. This morally bankrupt lifestyle was justified under the Augustinian doctrine that, by nature, man is incapable of doing good, and he is saved by virtue of his membership in the church. Those who opposed the pagan church of Rome were condemned as heretics, hunted down, and murdered. See the death of the teachings of Jesus. Because Constantine was not only carnal, but in every way a ruthless, conscienceless despot who embraced evil in everything he did, the church that he formed was born in the image of its creator. The question that every believer must ask today is how corrupted and contaminated has the message of Christ become after it had been placed in the hands of mankind? In a letter to Pope Leo X on September 6, 1520, Martin Luther wrote of the Christianity of his day that the church, once the holiest of all, has become the most licentious den of thieves, the most shameless of all brothels, the kingdom of sin, death, and hell. It is so bad that even Antichrist himself, if he should come, could think of nothing to add to its wickedness, quoted in The Great Thoughts, compiled by George Selds, that many Christians who remained carnal in their understanding twisted the doctrine of faith over the rituals of the law which Paul promoted among the Gentiles, is readily seen in the statement of Peter where it is written, "Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Pet 3:13-18 NKJ. If all that was necessary was to call upon the name of Jesus and be saved, then Peter never would have made notice that, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. If all that was necessary was to have faith and call upon the name of the Lord, saying a prayer, accepting Jesus as the believer's personal Lord and Savior, then Peter never would have stated that many of the believers who were reading Paul's epistles were ignorant of the essence of the teachings of Yeshua, who were untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. It is their flawed foundational doctrines of belief that not only cause all the opposing opinions that consume and divide the Christian and ultimately the religious world, but causes each group to remain alienated from the truth, fix the foundation, and restore wholeness. And the living vine which the church once was will again be able to supply the spiritual manna that will heal the nations. Yet, if that power that Paul refers to as the God of this world can continue to invoke disputes and factional polarizations, seducing people into lives of blind belief in the carnal doctrines or men to the degree where fragments of truth are mistaken for the whole truth, then the truth as it is manifest in this world will continue to be overcome by the power of darkness. Yeshua warned that a house that is divided cannot stand, and Christianity remains a religion of mass confusion and opposing opinions. Because the God of this world has prevailed in his endeavor to induce Christians to ignore the warning of Paul on the sin of sex, see no sex. Yeshua did not come to promote doctrines of opinion and belief, but rather, he came to teach the way that each person must live, think, and walk in this life, to know the truth and manifest the kingdom within them. In the parable of the good seed and the field, the enemy sowed tares among the good seed, and it has been these tares that has divided believers and alienated them from being nourished by the sacred manna of the kingdom that can only be received by those who pick up their own cross and follow in the footsteps of Yeshua and the way. Fix the flawed foundation, restore wholeness, and all the opposing opinions will disperse. And while Christians claim to rely upon the New Testament, it is the very scriptures they champion that rejects their doctrines of belief as being turned out of the way. Why do they fail to see this fact? Because they are blinded by their flawed foundation, which causes them to perceive an error. Truth can only be revealed and received in accord with the disciples' sincere willingness to live the truth that has been imparted to them from the Holy Spirit in word, thought, desire, and deed. In refusing to live in the life and light of the way, the Christian world has been conquered, and they dwell in the abyss of darkness and confusion. But what is truly pitiful and sad is the fact that the people choose lives of suffering and ignorance, when it is within their power to know the truth that breaks the shackles of the God of this world. The twisting of the scriptures by a vast multitude in the modern church is demonstrated in a recent Christian's condemnation of someone in a forum who used the name Eternal Seeker, and the Christian bases his allegations of heresy on the belief that Eternal Seeker is in error. Why? Why was the person using the name Eternal Seeker condemned by the Christian? Because from his doctrinal church perspective, Christians dwell under the deceptive belief that they have found Jesus and their belief is all that is required. So from his very limited reasoning, the Christian proclaims, "What is there to seek? You simply believe. And that is the end of it." The fact that a man would call himself the Eternal Seeker, in the limited understanding of the Christian, proves to him that such a man is lost and of Satan. Yet, the Bible states that just the opposite is true, and it is in fact this very mindset that keeps Christians spiritually ignorant and destroys even their opportunity to become a disciple of Yeshua and the way. Speaking of the false shepherds who had been twisting both the epistles of Paul and the scriptures to their own destruction, Peter writes, "These men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." 2 Pet 2:17-19 NIV. When Peter makes reference to the people who are just escaping from those who live in error, he is speaking of those who are trying to escape the clutches of the culture of this world by becoming what Paul called babes in Christ. And yet, what Peter is stating is the fact that the very doctrines of the false shepherds who they are following are conveying to these entry-level believers that they have found freedom in the gospel, when in fact they have only just begun their walk in the way. The depravity that Peter speaks of is in fact parallel to the warning in the Epistle of James that faith without works is dead, that is, without the works of the Spirit. They themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. We must ask, why would the counterfeit clergy shepherds promise the people freedom in the gospel and the good news, and yet Peter warns that they themselves are slaves of depravity? Because these shepherds of the simple faith do not understand the words that Yeshua said to the man who he had healed, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." John 5:14 KJV. Having themselves never been whole, or even remotely understand the reality of wholeness, the shepherds of the simple faith attempt to use Jesus as a sacrifice to live in a state of perpetual sin. And thus, these blind guides are not only disenfranchised from the very spiritual essence of the teachings of Yeshua and the way, but they have themselves never experienced wholeness or even understand the reality that is conveyed in these words. Perhaps the key to understanding the false shepherds of the church is found in the words, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. One jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matt 5:17-20 NKJ. Thus, while Yeshua and his Ebionite disciples condemned the rituals and traditions of the Pharisees, they openly acknowledged the royal law that remains completely in effect and binding upon all peoples of the earth. Peter's next statement is not only in direct opposition and runs contrary to what is preached in the churches today, but should literally haunt every person who calls themselves a Christian believer. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit. N. A sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. 2 Pet 2:20-22 NIV. Where the modern church promotes the doctrine that they are saved by grace regardless of the manner they live their lives, and they have made Jesus into a pagan idolatrous sacrifice, as a cloak for immorality and spiritual depravity, Peter not only states that this doctrine is in grave error, but correctly states that it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Every Christian should ask themselves, how can this be? Christians promote the doctrine that only those who believe can be saved, and here Peter is stating the opposite is true, and that those people who claim to believe may be worse off after they have come to believe than before they began to believe. The shepherds and blind guides that Peter is making reference to are those who preach the modern doctrine of perpetual sin that is promoted in churches today. That is, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. 2 Peter 2:10 NIV. Because these false shepherds fail to understand the reality of what Yeshua meant when he used the terms whole and complete, they preach the promise of freedom in their doctrine of salvation by faith and grace alone, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. In what can only be in total opposition to what Christians today believe, Peter states that it would have been better for the entry-level believers to have never heard of the good news of the gospel message, than to have heard, and then fall prey to the false shepherds who promise freedom, but blindly lead the believers into the proverbial ditch. And there is simply no means for the modern Christian who believes the doctrines of the church to even begin to understand what Peter is making reference to. Why? Because what is preached in the churches today has relatively little in common with what Yeshua actually taught. And in truth, modern Christian doctrine is founded upon the religious principles of pagan Rome, see the Christian Judas, than what Yeshua actually taught. How can this be? A person will ask. Quite contrary to modern Christian doctrine where all believers are saved, it is very clearly demonstrated in the scriptures that believers who do not live in accordance with the commandments of the Lord will be punished even more severely than the non-believer. This truth is demonstrated in the words, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Luke 12:47-48 NIV. What Yeshua is stating to us is that believers who do not fulfill the commandments will be punished more severely than those who do not know the will of God. That many Christians who remained carnal in their understanding twisted the doctrine of faith over the rituals of the law which Paul promoted among the Gentiles, as they continue to do today, is readily seen in the statement of Peter where it is written, "Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, Beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Pet 3:13-18 NKJ. If all that was necessary was to call upon the name of Jesus and be saved, then Peter never would have made notice that, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. If all that was necessary was to have faith and call upon the name of the Lord, saying a prayer, accepting Jesus as the believer's personal Lord and Savior, then Peter never would have stated that many of the believers who were reading Paul's epistles were ignorant of the essence of the teachings of Yeshua, who were untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Proof of the above and proof that when Paul was speaking of faith, he was not speaking of a faith that permits the believer to continue to sin after embracing the gospel is confirmed in the words in the Epistle to the Hebrews, where it is warned that if a believer sins willfully after becoming a believer, that they have crucified the Christ afresh, and no sacrifice, Jesus/grace, can have any effect on their destiny of judgment as an apostate to the teachings of Yeshua and the way. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account, and hold him up to contempt. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Heb 6:4-6. 10:26-27 RSV. Christians hold Yeshua in contempt. What is Paul, the alleged author of the Epistle to the Hebrews, saying in these important words? Very clearly, he warns that repentance from a life of sin is a one-time thing reserved for those who are entry-level Christians, because if after repenting the believer sins deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Why? Because a believer who willfully sins after repentance and coming to the knowledge of the way is a counterfeit believer who is an apostate, who crucifies the Son of God afresh, holding him up to contempt. Martin Luther, who is the father of the modern church doctrine that believers are saved solely by faith irrespective of their actions and the way they live their lives, recognized that he couldn't explain the above words of Paul that very clearly opposed everything that Luther believed to be true, and he therefore rejected the Epistle of the Hebrews, as he did also with over half of the New Testament. But did Luther understand the spiritual essence of the teachings of Yeshua and the way in their original form? In view of the fact that Luther could not come to terms with this and many other scriptural statements that he rejected, it is easy to recognize that because Luther was himself a priest in the spiritually disenfranchised Church of Rome, that Luther did not at all understand the very first principles of the spiritual gospel that was taught by Yeshua and his Ebionite disciples of the way. While the above words of Paul are impossible to understand from a modern Christian perspective, they remain totally faithful to the foundational teachings that the modern Christian has been alienated from due to the limitations of man-made church doctrine. Can Christians even hear and acknowledge the truth? How can I even begin to portray reality to those whom Paul states are apostates to the teachings of Yeshua and the way, holding him in absolute contempt? Paul states that those who willfully sin after repentance are in fact crucifying the Son of God afresh, which means that their leaders in the faith are Judases who betray Messiah/Christ, and in teaching believers that they are saved by their faith regardless of the mindset or the lifestyle they embrace regardless of their actions and deeds. The reality is that the believers of the simple faith are following the least, from the perspective of the kingdom, that is. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matt 5:17-20 NKJ. Thus, Paul writes of these counterfeit clergy who promise them freedom in their idolatry of using Yeshua/Jesus as a license to continue to sin, that they are apostates to the kingdom. the faith of Paul in no manner promoted a coverture of sin in the manner that Christians preach today, and this is especially seen in Paul's proclamation. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Rom 6, 1-16 NKJ. Thus, it is important to see that Paul portrayed those who lived in sin as being dead, that is, as when Yeshua said, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Matt 8:22 KJV. And this is why the prodigal son, who was lost in the far country, was portrayed as being dead. From a biblical perspective, once a disciple of the Lord has been cleansed and made whole, they are to sin no more, John 5:14, 8:11, and whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him, 1 John 3, 6 NKJ.